Today on Impact for Living, founder, sports and business leader, and pastor Scott Whitaker will challenge you to reach your God-given potential and impact, which you were created to have with and for Jesus Christ in the world. Now, here's Scott with today's message.
This morning, I want to read from three different gospel selections. First, out of the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14, beginning at verse 22. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." And then out of the Gospel of Matthew again, chapter 28, at verses 5 and 6, familiar passages from this last Sunday that you may have heard. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who has been crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, just as he said." And then out of Psalm 23, verse 1, written by King David, and he says this, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." The scene we just read with the disciples in the boat in the storm took place on Lake Galilee, also known as the Sea of Galilee. It's a freshwater lake or sea, and it's only 13 miles long and 7.5 miles across. Fairly small as far as seas and lakes in general go. And its small size made it more vulnerable to the winds that came off the surrounding mountains called the Golan Heights. And so the lake had the potential, in a storm, of becoming a bit of a blender, with storms lasting for 2 or 3 days at a time. This is the place where the disciples found themselves after a long day they just had with Jesus. As Jesus taught, and healed, and then fed 5,000 men, plus all the women and children that were with them, with just 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Not bad. Not bad. As their boat made its way across the lake, the disciples knew, though, they were in trouble. Normally, it was a 60-minute cruise across the lake, but now it went on and on and on, lasting all night. It was dark, windy, raining in buckets, lightning slashed through the black sky. They were in the middle of the sea being tossed about by the winds and the waves from the storm. We've all been there, though, haven't we? Maybe not in a boat in the middle of a stormy sea, but maybe in the middle of a career change, tossed by uncertainty as to what was next. Maybe a relationship, tossed by criticism and doubt and uncertainty as to what steps next or before you, or financial struggles, tossed by debt, lack of revenues, wondering what the next month would be like, or in the middle of failure, beaten down by the expectations of others. So, while the disciples fought the storm, sometime in the early morning, something strange happened. They spotted a ghost on the water coming their way, and they were even more terrified. Then Peter, who was one of the disciples and on the boat, saw that it was Jesus. Well, none of them expected that, to see Jesus coming their way out in the middle of the stormy sea and walking on the water to boot. He had been with them teaching, praying, healing, feeding thousands, and had gone off to rest and pray, they thought. And now, there he was in the midst of the worst storm they had ever experienced, and they didn't expect him there to be with them in that moment. But then, guys, stop and think about it. Neither do we. But why? Why not? We expect him to come to us in the usual moments, the expected moments, the quieter moments, but not like this, not in the worst of times, not in the storms of life. Really? Why not? Why not? You know you see him and feel his presence in the peaceful hymns that we sing in churches, or like a couple of days ago at our Easter sunrise service online that we had at the Duck Pond at North Florida Regional Medical Center. I suppose we're not surprised if he's in our morning devotional times, our group Bible studies, or we sense him gathered with us in church worship. or times of Thanksgiving and other similar gatherings. But what about in the storms or when things turn against us? What about when people turn away or criticize us, condemn us, throw us under the bus? Do we look to find him then? Do we look for him when we get fired or during a long losing streak, in the horrors of war or disaster that happens somewhere in the world or in our country? Or do we look for him in an illness or something unexpected like this pandemic? What about in a hurricane or in the midst of a bad, bad economy? Do we expect to see him at any of those storms? Be honest. Easter Sunday reminded us that the Christ of the empty tomb is alive. In the passage about the storm on the lake that we read a moment ago, Christ, the water walker, a healer, and feeder of thousands with some bread and fish, was there. And then King David, in the psalm that we read, embraces him as his Lord and his shepherd. Don't you think that that Christ who we see in those settings and others can handle the storms of our lives? Still have some doubt? Well, the disciples did too, and they did not expect to see him that night. But why? Why? Big mistake. Because listen to me. It's in the storms that we go through in life where God does his best work. It's in the storms we go through where we have his keenest attention. We need help, and he knows it. And he always comes to us. What about these times as we battle this storm called coronavirus as it bashes and buffets, to use an expression out of the scripture, and tries to swamp our lives as we knew them before? From our boats in this wind-tossed sea we call COVID-19, all we see are empty streets and empty stores, empty schools, parks, and playgrounds, empty ballparks and stadiums, empty dinner tables, usually filled with family and friends, empty churches. And when we look closer, we see some empty eyes and empty hearts. Hope has gone, and it's been replaced in some by fear, uncertainty, and doubt. But he comes to us then, too. Easter reminds us he is alive. And in a storm, he sees us, and he always comes to us. Why? Why? Because we are his. He loves us, and his eye is always on us. He'll wipe away every tear, heal every pain we have, remove every doubt. He is with us. A few years ago, my elder granddaughter, Hannah, and I were in the garage at our house cleaning the windows on her Mimi's car. She was about 4 or 5 at the time. Actually, I was cleaning the windows and she was simply encouraging me. And then after a while, she stopped encouraging me and wandered out toward the woods that bordered our property. The garage door was open, so I could see her every step from where I was inside the garage as she crossed the driveway to the edge of the grass, about 25 feet away, bordering the woods which ran the length of our side yard. So as I kept cleaning, I was watching her, what she was doing, and where she was. But just as I had finished cleaning the windows of the car, saw her begin to cry, then the penetrating sounds from her sobbing quickly followed and hit my ears. I leapt from my spot on the footstool and ran over to her. I quickly saw that nothing had seemed to hurt her, which might have caused what was now a steady stream of tears. I hadn't seen any snakes, and she hadn't seemed to gotten into an ant bed. Everything seemed okay from that standpoint anyway. "What's the matter, sweetie?" I asked as I held her in my arms and wiped the tears from her precious cheeks. "Granddaddy," she choked out through the tears falling down heavily from her soft cheeks. "You left me." "But precious, I didn't," I reassured her. "I was with you all the while." And I was. Those words I shared with Hannah, "I was with you all the while," holding her in my arms, remind us of what you and I need to remember about the God who is over all. And here it is. God hasn't gone anywhere. And even more, wherever we are, whatever we're in the middle of, he comes to us like he did with the disciples in the boat or in the worst storms and moments of our lives. He comes to us and is there to walk with us in whatever we're going through. Take courage. It is I, he says. Don't be afraid. We cannot go anywhere where God is not present with us. Let me say that again. We cannot go anywhere where God is not present with us. We can't hide any place. God will always find us. He sees us and he comes to us. He comes to us and is alongside us, behind us, above us, in front of us, wherever we are. So where do we find him? Well, we find him in the quiet moments of life, in times of worship and prayer, in times of fellowship with others in his name. Absolutely. Absolutely. But we will also always find him when life doesn't seem to be going so well or smoothly, in the storms, the difficulties, the pandemics and uncertainties of life. He is with us. In the worst of storms and heart-wrenching difficulties of life, he comes to us. When we feel lost and all alone and not sure we can take another step, he comes to us. And when we feel like we've been left all alone on a grassy strip or abandoned and no one seems to care, he cares and he comes to us. He is with us wherever and whenever. Always. Always. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you. Wow, in the midst of all the stuff going on that just normally goes on, and now all the stuff going on with this pandemic, thank you for the reminder. The reminder from Easter, the reminder from today, the reminder of the scripture we read in the storm, the reminder out of the 23rd Psalm, the reminder in so many places that you are always there, that wherever we are, you're there. When we're in the midst of whatever, you come to us. You see us. We can't hide from you. Never happened. Thank goodness. Thank you for loving us that much. Thank you for always being with us. Thank you then, knowing that and believing that, that we can have the courage and the faith to move forward in the midst of whatever, even though we don't understand and things are uncertain. We know that you are certain and you've got us and you know where we're going. So we will move forward with courage with you, with hope in our hearts, moving forward step by step, trusting you for all the rest where we're going, so that we can continue to become all that you want us to be for you, for your glory, and to make a difference in this world and in others' lives. Thanks for loving us. In your son's precious, precious name we pray, amen and amen.
We hope that Scott's message today has challenged and encouraged you. Thank you for being with us, and be sure to join Scott and Impact for Living next week for another faith-filled message focused on God's plan and purpose for your life.